Well, good morning. It's Thursday, February 22nd, 2018. This is Herman Davis, the work from home dad. Just really excited. I hope you're doing well. I don't know if you're driving this morning, if you're dealing with kids this morning. You may be already at work. Today may be off day. So what is it? What's on the schedule for the day? Call in. Tell me exactly what you're doing. Tell me exactly if there's anything new, if it's the same old thing, or if you got some exciting plans. Yeah, today we're going to talk about a lot of good stuff. You know, one of the things, the main thing of this purpose of this station is to really help those who are looking for another stream of income, but have situations in their life where it's impossible to make. You know, maybe you don't have any time. Maybe you are in a full-time career right now and you can't find the energy after work to even do anything else. Maybe it's the kids, you know. You wish you would have started before you had kids. You know, maybe it's the experience. Well, I don't have the experience right now. It's just hard right now. I've never owned a business. I've always worked. Well, look, all those things I just named, those are excuses. And none of those excuses I just named are even big enough to stand in between you and success. You can work from home. You literally can build an income from your home. There's just certain things you really have to do. There's certain things you really have to put in place. And the purpose of this station is to show you some of those things to put in place. And we do it several ways, through interviews. We did a couple of interviews yesterday. Definitely go watch the broadcast yesterday. As a matter of fact, listen to it. It should still be up if you're on Anchor Radio right now and listen to this. We also do it through just sharing insights that I've learned. You know, 16 plus years of trying to get this thing right, working it, failing, succeeding in little ways, making adjustments, and finally understanding what to do and teaching people. And the beautiful thing about it is we've literally helped hundreds of people. No, thousands of people, I should say, now looking at the record, earn income from home. And when I'm talking about earn income, what I mean is not just make money. I mean, like, make more money than you spent to make the money. Because a lot of people make money from home, but they spent, like, a lot of money to make a little money, and it's not profit. We believe in profit here. We believe in having more come in than what goes out. And that's important, because if not, you're not really making money. You're receiving money, but you're not in profit. So listen to a couple of tunes and then be prepared, because the topic of the day, throughout the day, is going to be what to look for in a company. You know, what to look for in a company. What's a good company? What's a scam? But what's a good company also? Yes, yes. Little upbeat music to start the day off, it always helps. So look, working from home, decisions, decisions, decisions. Who hasn't been to an opportunity meeting? Hey, I'd love for you to call in. Call in and tell me exactly what's the funniest opportunity meeting that you've gone to. You know, somebody invited you over to their house, said, hey, I want to show you how to make some money. And you just told yourself, I can't believe I'm coming to one of these again. There's some stories out there. Like, let me tell you about, you know, something I went to. And it's funny because when folks invite you over to opportunity meetings, you know, it's supposed to be legit, right? If it's so legit, then why is it so covert? Like, they'll do everything but tell you that they're going to talk about a business. You know, they'll say, hey, come over and let's eat dinner. They'll say, come over, let's watch a movie. They'll say, come over, let's do a Super Bowl party. All these things. But they won't say, come over and I want to show you a way to make some money. And to me, you know, that's, I've been in situations like that where you go and it's a gathering. I've even had people say, come over, it's a prayer group. They've actually, you know, kind of masked it in a Christian way, I guess, or in a religious way, to make you feel like you're obligated to come over, because you don't want to say no to a prayer group. And then you find out that it's one of those things. So call in, comment. Let me know what's, you know, when was the last time you got invited and what were they selling? You know, was it health and wellness? Was it financial fitness? Everything has a twist to it. And what I recommend up front is be up front with people. You know, people want you to be real. They don't want you to be fake. They want to know what's going on. Now, you don't have to tell them and explain everything to them, but just don't al-cater them. That's what I call it. Where, you know, al-cater, they come out when you're not expecting. You're driving, and boom, there's an IED, an explosive device underneath you, and it blows you up. Well, that's kind of how it feels at these pop-up opportunity meetings. At least let them know that they're looking at some information, okay? You don't have to get all technical about it, but let them know. Call in. Let me know. When was the last time you went to an opportunity meeting? And did they do a good job? Were you impressed? I'd like to know your feelings. All right. Tip number one about what to look for in a work from home opportunity. Now, there's hundreds, no, thousands of companies out there that are going to pitch you. And beware. As soon as you show a minute amount of interest in working from home, your friends are going to come out the woodworks with their opportunities. So no fear. There's nothing wrong with taking a look at them. Let me tell you that up front. Don't run from them. It's not a good thing to do for your friends. Your friends are trying. They're trying to make a better living for themselves, and they're trying to be an entrepreneur. So, you know, be courteous, first of all. Don't panic. It's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing that they're coming at you. They're coming at you because most of them, they kind of see you being a go-to person. So this says a lot about your character. So take it as a badge of honor and make the sacrifice. But let's say what to look for. You know, one of the first things that I look for in a work-from-home opportunity that really will help you out long-term, and all these things that I'm telling you up front, they're not just to help you make a little money up front. They're really to help you gain some stability, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years later. Because if we're going to exhaust our energy doing things, let's work hard on doing something that's going to last. Okay? All right. First thing that I want you to look for is, one, make sure that whatever you're offering, because you're going to be offering something or selling. You know, a lot of people, I use the word cheering because I don't believe in selling. We'll get into that philosophy in a minute. But make sure whatever you're offering, that if you weren't getting paid, you would still consider offering it. Very, very simple concept. In other words, like, if whatever the company wants me to sell, would I recommend that product to someone? Like, really, people that I know, like, and trust, people that in my circle, would I say, you know what, you ought to take a look at XYZ because they offer whatever. But would I do that if I wasn't getting paid? That's a deep question you got to think about. Would I actually do that if I wasn't getting paid? And the reason why that's important is because what it really establishes with you some integrity and some credibility. You know, I've been a part of a lot of companies. You know, I found the one that really pays us well, and you know, I'm a stay-at-home parent, doing that for years now, living exclusively off of that income and taking that money and doing other things with it. But, you know, it's easier when you believe in what you're offering to people than just offering it to get a paycheck. See, there's two different reasons why people work for money. They either work for a paycheck or they work for purpose. It's nice when you can do both. Let me repeat that. People either work for a paycheck or they work for purpose. The people that work for a paycheck, they're just looking to get paid. They're not really caring about what they're doing to get paid. They're not concerned about how long the product lasts when they get paid. They just want to make the sale to get the check. I just don't believe that's going to be a long-term strategy. It's not going to give you any credibility. As a matter of fact, I discourage anyone doing that, period, because what you're doing is you're using people for your gain. And in the end, it's never going to turn out the right way. But then there are also people that work for a purpose, meaning they see themselves a part of something that's actually going to change the world. Maybe it's something they know is going to bring value to that person. It's going to make them better. It's going to empower that person. It's going to make something in their life a lot easier. So this is when you work for a purpose, it's not selling anything. That's the beauty behind finding something that you would recommend without getting paid. Because now you went from selling to sharing. And it's easy to share things with people than to sell anything to people. There's a saying that says, look, people like to buy, but they hate being sold. What that saying means is that people don't mind spending money on things that they want, things that bring them value, things they can see, you know, make their life more convenient. But no one likes to be sold anything, even if it brought them value. The beautiful thing about you really liking this product or offering it, even if you weren't getting paid, is now you're sharing the value. You're sharing it because it made your life convenient. It made your life better. And you think it'd make your friend's life better. And it radically changes your attitude in the business. So that's tip number one. Now, let me just emphasize that a little bit more, because I think, you know, we can solve a lot of problems in our business up front if we really, really just follow that tip about really understanding and believing in what you're offering. Me, myself, personally, I don't want to offer my friends anything that I'm going to be scared to talk to them a month later about the results. And I've seen people get caught up in this. They're so caught up in making the money that they forget about making a difference in their people's lives. And what you don't get up front is that up front, you're not only selling the product, you're selling your credibility. And you want to make sure that you match yourself, your reputation, your integrity with something that you can stand behind, something that you don't feel bad about, something that your friends are not going to come and, you know, say, man, why in the world did you give me this? This is garbage. Or even put it on Facebook or any other social media and affiliate your name with it. Your reputation is bigger than any paycheck. It really is. It's bigger than any commission. Because once it's ruined, now you walk around with that scarlet letter on you as that person who's hustling other people. And you don't want to do that. I'm not trying to scare you. There's great companies with great products out there. I mean, seriously. And if you look hard enough, you can find those great companies with great products. But ask yourself, when you're looking at any type of opportunity, ask yourself one thing. Is this something that I would buy, or is this something that I would recommend if I wasn't getting paid? You know, I like to hear, if you have any call-ins, you're on Anchor Radio, let me know some of the things that you sold in the past. You know, because sometimes it may be something that, you know, you believed in. And let me know how that went. It was a different, it's not about really having success per se, but it's about really feeling good in your conscience at this point. Because all the success in the world won't ease your conscience when you lose your friends. So I just wanted to make sure that you really, really got that, because that's important. Now, my second tip on what to look for in work from home opportunities is, you know, not only you want to find a product that you would recommend without getting paid, but you want to find one that's affordable. This is big, and this is where it can get a little tricky at. Why? Because, you know, there's a reason why they're paying you a commission, because they have extra money coming from the product. And some companies have excellent products. I mean, they have great products, great services, etc. They're good. And you probably would recommend them. But if you look at the price in what you're paying, or what your friends and family have to pay, the price sometimes is 2 to 3 times more than what they can get it in retail. And it's not that the company's trying to screw people over. I don't want to paint that picture. But there has to be a way that they can pay you. I mean, think about it. They have staff. They have delivery. You know, they have production. They have their own payroll. And in all that, they have to squeeze out a way to pay you commissions. Yes, the company does save some money off of commercial advertising. But look, let's be real today. Commercial advertising isn't what it used to be. I mean, with the power of the internet and Amazon and, you know, eliminating these third-party vendors, people are able to cut costs down tremendously today. As a matter of fact, and many times you can buy directly from the manufacturer now. So you can cut out the middleman that drives prices down. The challenge with networking opportunities is that they want to deliver exceptional products at a low price, but they have to build in the commission on top of that, because, you know, they want to make sure they reward their people, have an incentive for their people to go share these things. So your commission is built in between the numbers. And if you're offering, let's say, bars of soap, 3 bars of soap, and it's great soap, I mean, matter of fact, it's, you know, natural. It does wonderful things for the skin. But if those same three bars of soap, if it's going to run your customer $12, but they can get a similar product for $6 at Walmart, then guess what? The numbers don't lie, folks. Folks are going to go where a better deal is. That's just the way it is. You know, if you got something and it's priced significantly higher, you can sell all day long and you can talk to your people till you're blue in the face about how the value is built in, and you can try to justify it. But at the end of the day, it's like want. You remember on Charlie Brown? Those of you that are old enough to watch Charlie Brown, you know, sometimes when you're talking, you may be making all the sense to yourself, but that person on the other end, they don't hear nothing. You know what they hear? They hear, this is twice as high than I would normally pay for it. That's what they hear. And so it's hard to justify something like that. And you may make a sale. You know what? Because you may talk people to death. And they may just feel sorry and obligated to buy from you. But you won't gain a real customer because they'll never come back. So find something that's reasonably priced. People are competing for money these days. The checkbook is hard to compete for. You know, so you want to make sure that whatever you're offering folks, that it's something that when they're comparing it to like their cable bill, it's not competing. Because if it competes with the cable bill, 9 times out of 10, it'll lose. People will not give up their cable. They will not give up their entertainment. And if you're competing with it, if it has to make a decision between that and whatever in the cable bill, you know, you probably will lose. In some cases, you may win. But in most cases, I'm just going to be upfront. You'll lose. So tip number 2, find something that's reasonably priced. It has a commission built into it for you, but also is reasonably priced for your customer. Now, let me kind of clarify what I just got through talking about, because I have some people probably that are listening right now that actually have work from home opportunities and their products are pretty expensive and they may get offended. Keep in mind, the whole purpose of this particular show is to help people, the majority of people. You know, I have what I call an 80% rule. In other words, the things that I recommend or the things that I say, it applies to like 80% of people. There's going to be a small 20% that are going to be exceptions. I get that. But if you're looking in business and if I want to train people or coach people or recommend some things that are going to help them succeed, I need to make sure that I'm pointing toward the majority of people. There's going to be some minor exceptions here and there. And I don't want to point out the exceptions too much because the exceptions are low percentage for you. So a lot of the listeners here, they're looking at minimizing their risk. And that's what I'm putting. So, you know, for example, when you talk about a product that's expensive, you know, some of these things, they're just expensive. They really are. And they're worth the value. But, you know, generally, when you're dealing with large groups of people, the more expensive your product is, the smaller your audience gets. You know, and you really want something that you can deal with the majority of people you run across. I mean, if you're dealing with 10 people and you're in the, you know, if you're offering something that's, let's say, $100+ a month, then you can eliminate probably 7 out of 10 people off of that list. And it's not that those 7 wouldn't see a value in what you're offering. That's not what I'm saying. It's not that those 7 couldn't use what you're offering. That's not what I'm saying. It's just that those 7 can't afford what you're offering with their current budget. Yeah, we can talk about moving around things and stopping this and, you know, maybe cutting off the cable or stop going out to eat so much. We can talk about all those things till we're blue in the face. And you know what? You're absolutely right on some of those things. You're right. They should replace the bad stuff. Things that aren't bringing them value with good stuff that's bringing them value. You're absolutely right. But at the end of the day, it's not about being right as far as the customer is concerned. It's about being affordable where I can see a value and I can justify the price. So I'm not saying that what you have isn't worth it. What I'm saying is that you may have something that you're cutting down your audience, your prospects, your potential people that may be customers. You're cutting them down tremendously. So if I had something that was, let's say, less than $30 that the person had to spend per month, and you had something that was, let's say, $100. I guarantee you, if we took 10 of our friends together, at least I would be able to market to the majority of my friends because the price wouldn't throw them out. And you would have to market to the minority of your friends. And it's not to say that you won't have success. I mean, if your market looks like 3 out of 10 friends will consider it, and if you're good with that, then work it. That just means you have to talk to a whole lot of people before you make the same amount of sales I do. So in business, I believe in taking a path of least resistance. Especially if you're working from home and have a career or kids or other thing going on in your life, you don't need any more of the complexities. So I take the path of least resistance, the path that I can be successful the quickest on. And later on, when you're making millions of dollars, you can choose to do those other things. But for right now, for most people, we want to make sure we keep it within that area. All right, tip number three. After you found something that, you believed in, you would sell no matter what, and it was not as expensive, not competing with the cable bill, so to say, the next thing you want to look at is you want to look at your competition. You want to ask yourself, look, how many people are offering this type of product? And that's a factor, because you're going to have something that meet the first two criteria. They're great. But, if there's competition out there, then you're going to be competing with prices. Back again, this is a financial decision for most people. Prices are just attractive to people when it comes down to you selling them things. That's just the way it is. There's no clear-cut way of, there's no easy way of saying it, that people shop prices and they'll sell you out for a dollar. I mean, they can find it for a dollar cheaper somewhere else, then most people will sell you out. They'll go to that someplace else because people are competing. And you also want to offer something that's reasonably priced. The challenge in networking businesses a lot of times is that companies come out with products and they use these models to push their products out to the audience. Why? Because they can't get in stores yet. So a lot of times they realize, look, they pay people a commission to push them, then people will be good mouthpieces. And they'll push them out there. Well, there's a concept called product dumping. And what I mean by that is, you pay to get in these opportunities. Nothing wrong with investments. Nothing at all. Nothing wrong with paying upfront fees. I believe in that. But a lot of product companies, when you're paying an upfront fee, you're buying a certain number of products. That's the way they continue their sales. Well, what ended up happening is you find out that over time, everybody doesn't succeed. So what happens when you spend $200, $300, $400, $500 on products that you have that you can't deliver? Then no one's going to buy. Well, what some people do, they go to places like eBay and Craigslist and, places like that. And they place the product on there just trying to get rid of it. Look, I just want to recuperate. I spent $500. I just want to get back two of my $500 any way, shape or form. And when they do that, guess what they do? They lower the price. They take a loss. Because doesn't it make sense to get 50% of something, then 100% of nothing back? If you had a chance and you bought something and you didn't like it, wouldn't you rather get half of your money back than none of your money back? Well, that's kind of the attitude they have. So they put it on these, Craigslist and eBay, and now it creates a challenge for you. Why? Because here you are offering something for $10, but they can get it for $5. And it's the same product. So you have product dumping, it happens all the time. So it creates internal competition. The external competition is when you have big retail stores who offer a similar product, but they offer it to it at a discounted rate, at lower than what you can, because they can afford to offer it at a lower price because of the volume they're moving. So maybe you're in vitamins, but you have a great vitamin line, but it's $60 a case, and they can get a similar vitamin line for $30 at the local health store. Well, what do you think they're going to get? Probably that similar one. Maybe it's financial services. Maybe it's weight loss stuff. My point is, if you can go online and you can eBay it, then you have the challenge of product dumping. Or if you can go online and you can find a similar thing, maybe not your brand, maybe it doesn't have your fancy writing on it, your fancy boxes, but at the end of the day, it pretty much does the same thing. If you can see an infomercial at 3 o'clock in the morning that's offering your product, then guess what? It's hard. Not to say it's impossible, because you can still talk about your value and you probably have a superior product than what they do, but it's going to be another layer of competition. It's going to be another layer of a skill set you're going to have to develop, because you're going to have to really sell them on why they should go with you versus going to someone else. So some of you are involved in opportunities that do offer similar products. And I'm not saying you can't do well in those opportunities, but just understand that most people by default are going to go to where they save. It's just the way people are. And you're going to have to take more energy explaining the differences that you have than anything else. And it's not necessarily a bad place, but it's not the best place. As a matter of fact, one of the products I offer right now in my home-based business, it's kind of popular out there. I mean, there's other people that offer something similar to it. We just have what we call differentiators, and that's what we lead with. And I don't take competition. And if you're in this spot, don't take offensive competition. As a matter of fact, you know, be glad of it. Now, once again, this topic needs a little more explanation. And I've shared this with so many people and really helped them out, helped them discover some things. Because these are the lessons that I've learned, you know, over time by trying different things out and, you know, not necessarily being with bad companies, but just not making the optimal decision for me to have massive success up front. So let me clarify what I mean about no competition. It does not mean that you get into something and no one else is doing it. Now, the ideal situation, of course, is that you'll be involved in something and you're kind of the only one. You know, it's almost like you're the only one in the box, the big fish in the pond, the only fish in the pond, so to say. And, you know, that's hard to do, because if you have something good and if you have a great, if there's a need, then other people are going to strive to fill it. You know, so you're going to have some type of competition out there. But, you know, you just want to make sure that you differentiate yourself. Like, one of the things that we offer is an identity theft protection. And if you know anything about identity theft, you know everybody's coming out with some banks and everything else. So in a way, that doesn't really harm us because it's not our core product. But it is a product that we can offer people. So instead of this is a way that you can approach that. If someone already has something similar to what you're offering, number one, compliment them. Do not ever put them down for the decision they made. Because when you put that, when you tell them made a bad decision, you know what you're telling them? That they can't decide for themselves correctly. So never, never, ever, 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 ever criticize somebody for being with another type of company. But number two, you know, just share a comparison. At the end of the day, you're in that situation that the best value and the best service is going to win. So when I run across things like that, I kind of get a little excited. Why? Because they're already spending money on what I'm trying to sell. What does that tell me? That tells me that they're qualified as a potential customer. See, it's one thing to offer somebody something they're not spending money on currently right now. That means you have to sell them value on why they should get it. It's another thing to offer something to someone that's already spending money on that something. That means they're already educated, see value in what they need. Now you're just comparing products. So it's not a bad thing necessarily. But just keep in mind, you have to know how to compare products. And when you compare products, you have to make sure yours is superior. There's a lot of things out there, and yours may be good, but it has to be superior. Because to get people to switch, you have to have superiority, not just equality. And that's another thing I notice about consumers. People won't switch over because it does the same thing. You have to be better, because people don't like change. And they have to change services. They just don't like that. So I want to clarify that to make sure we're all on the same page. And know that the competition is not necessarily a bad thing. Yeah, now it's time. I really want to get some call-ins. I want to get some call-ins on some of the things you've been pitched before. You know, maybe they were ridiculous products. Some that you really said, like, really? You really want me to buy that? Maybe they were ridiculous prices. Maybe you already had it. And, you know, you never heard a company. Share some of the things that you've been pitched before from work from home. You know, normally they're falling into several categories: health and wellness, financial fitness, legal, identity protection, you know, things of that matter, vacation clubs. They fall into those type of categories. But we've had some pretty strangely unique categories pop up because people are starting to get wind on how successful you can be in an opportunity. So share that with us and let me see exactly where you are right now, what you've been pitched lately. Another tip I want to give you is look at what they call the market share. That's just a fancy way of saying is how many people already have what you're offering. It's kind of, sort of like the competition we hit on this previously. about, you know, competition is not necessarily bad, because competition can really establish that there's a valid need for what you have. The only problem, I think, or the challenge when competition gets bad, when it's your main product. You know, if you have something that you're offering plus something that may have a little competition, then you can win that person over. Why? Because they're getting what they already have plus another product. So that can really kind of ease down the tension of competition. But, you know, if what you're mainly offering, everybody already has, you know, you may get excited and say, it's obvious, everybody already has it. So, I mean, it's going to be easy to sell. Yes and no. Yes, because it's obvious that there's a need out there and people are already spending money on it. No, because people hate changing. They hate changing. They hate changing cable companies. They hate changing phone companies. Now, the only way that people like to change is if there's a significant savings. Now, savings will make people look over their non-changing type ways. If you can show somebody that they can save a significant amount of money, then they'll be the exception to the rule. But overall, if it's kind of generally the same thing and the same price, you have to really have a good relationship with that person to switch over. Most folks won't, because they're comfortable where they are and they're established where they are. You know, find somewhere where you can see, you know, a low market penetration. One of the things I look for, you know, in the current company that I'm a part of, is that we have like less than 2% market penetration across the United States. What that translates for me is simply that if I talk to 100 people, two of them may have what we're offering. And that's pretty good. That means that there's a lot of room for me to get new customers without competition. That means not only do I get new customers, I keep those customers. And that's where it's hard for competition, because you may say, look, I know my people, and they're gonna switch over because they love me. Yeah, you're right. They may switch over because they love you. But the question is, how do you keep them? I mean, how do you keep them long term? Because the more competition that's out there, the more market share that's out there, the more people are competing for the same market space, something called price dropping happens. More competition means lesser prices. People are competing for the dollar, so they're going to lower their prices. And your company's going to lower your prices. And pretty soon, if your company decides to compete in a price war, then that means if they lower their prices, you're going to lose commission. You're not going to make as much money as you are right now. They're going to have to start making some cutbacks to compete with the competition. And even those that do compete with the competition, what is stopping, you know, your market share from lowering it even worse? So, you know, there's two angles you're looking at here. You have one angle, which is, I can't sell it to someone because everybody already has it. And a lot of times that knocks out the average networker, because they're not into sales. They're not into convincing people. They don't want to be a part of something. I got to convince you to come to me versus come to someone else. So that knocks a lot of people out right there, you know. The second part is, how do you keep them? Once you sell them, how do you keep them? Because what's going to happen is, as competition sees that you're pulling product from them, or pulling prospects, customers from them, then they're going to make some aggressive moves to do some things to pull them right back. So now you're caught up in this financial tug of war, so to say, with people caught up in the middle, and you're pulling your lower price and they're lowering their price. They're pulling their way and you're lowering your price. You're pulling your way. They're lowering their price. And that's just an endless cycle. You don't want to be a part of that. The best ideal situation is find a market with has hardly no market share. That you're kind of the new, you're innovative, you're a disruptive innovation. Then you're coming and you're disrupting things, you're changing them, and you're new. You're not necessarily have a new idea, but you have a new way of delivering the product. That's another tip.
Now, I know we've talked about qualifications and what to look for in the opportunity, but let's take a little break and talk about something that's just as serious. What to look for in you? Because you may not be cut out for this. You can meet all the qualifications and everything, but if you're looking for a work from home opportunity in the networking space, that's dealing with people, if you're looking for that type of opportunity, keep in mind that you have to like helping people. That's a big qualification.
Hey, work at home dad. This is the work at home mom. I actually have two stations here on Anchor. I have WHAM Radio, W-A-H-M, stands for Work at Home Mom, and then this one, which is my personal channel, Sheena Diane. So one of the questions that I get, or one of the comments, I guess more so, that I get a lot, and it irks me more than anything, is when people say, oh, you work at home. Oh, that must be so nice. You must have so much time on your hands. What? Now, I don't have 7 kids, so I commend you for that. I have 3 kids, and my 3 kids are enough of a handful. Plus, I have 4 dogs. Plus, I have 9 lizards. Plus, we have a worm business. Plus, I'm starting a mentoring / blog with numerous other things. I also sell Scentsy. Oh, my gosh. Like, the list goes on. So whenever they say that, there's this big misconception as when you work at home, it's Netflix and popcorn or something. But on the contrary, when you work at home, it's actually harder than having a regular 9-to-5 job. Because when you go to work in your car, you drive to work, you're there from 9 to 5, you clock out, you go home, you clock out. Key word there, clock out. When you are a work at home mom or dad, work at home person, you don't clock out because guess what? Your computer's right there. You're always able to check emails. You're always doing something for your business. I mean, yes, there's times that you will stop working your business and be with your family, which is the whole point of working at home. But the misconception is that you have all this time to just hang out with your kids, to hang out with your family. And the truth is you don't. I mean, you have to make that time, as you were saying. You have to learn to balance your time and schedule it. If I didn't have schedules and timers, oh my gosh, and I've done numerous broadcasts about this, schedules and timers are my lifeline. Without them, I would never get anything done. We would never be anywhere on time. I have timers that go off at lunchtime. I have timers that go off when it's time for me to pick up my kids. I have timers that go off when it's time for me to clock out at my date, my work at home job. But like I said, my computer's right there. And even after the kids go to bed, guess what I do? I get online, I start blogging. I get online, I start doing some courses to help with my business. So I constantly am working my business. It becomes an obsession. You're not really ever clocked out. And that's such a big misconception when people want to work at home. They basically want free money. And that's the reason why I started my mentoring business, because I'm getting so tired of going to those Facebook places, those work at home Facebook pages, and they're like, hey y'all, I don't really want to do much. I just want to make money from my phone. Give me an app. And then they complain 2 weeks later that they got scammed. Well, yeah, you're asking to be scammed. There's no real work at home job that's going to have you download an app and then pay somebody $20 to make $100. It ain't happening. You just lost $20, fool. But anyway, that stuff really irks me. It really does. Because I've been working at home for 10 years and I have to tell you, it's harder than people think.
Hey, definitely appreciate the feedback, and I'm in 100% agreeance with you. Most people have a misconception of what it really means to work from home. It is work. Keep in mind, working from home, not relaxing from home, or you know, spending time on the internet all day from home. So there's definitely some skill sets you have to develop when you're working from home. But the good news is that once you develop those skill sets, the benefits of working from home far outweigh the benefits from working anywhere else. Look, I would rather work an 80-hour work week from home than a 40-hour work week away from home. Number one, you have ownership over what you do. You have control and dictation over your schedule. There's nothing like controlling your schedule. And also, you get to spend those precious moments, those in-between moments with your family and people that you love. So it does come with a cost. Do not get it twisted. But it comes with a great reward. Looking forward to hearing more information from your station about these topics and other topics so I can inspire, learn, and grow more.
For those of you that are joining this particular podcast, keep in mind, in addition to looking, learning exactly what to look for in that opportunity, there's a lot of scams out there. So I just actually uploaded a new cast on how to identify the scams. We give a lot of tips and tricks upon that because there's great opportunities out there, but you got to watch out for some of the up-and-coming scams. So I encourage you to, once you're listening to this one, to go ahead and check out the new one that just got uploaded today. It's Friday, February 27th, whatever it is. But I just, and it's labeled scams. So we're going to break down exactly how to identify it, what to look for in it, and how to avoid them. So make sure you tune in.
and leave me some input. Let me know exactly if there's any particular topics that you're looking at me to cover. So looking forward to hearing your input.